Here we go. Hi, welcome to the Blog Mastermind regular question and answer call. It's October 8th, 2008, and we're going to dive straight into this. For people who have never made it onto a question and answer call before, how this process works, it's quite simple. I'm going to mute the line for everyone. So what happens now is, besides myself, all your lines are muted. But if you would like to ask a question, you just have to press 1 and then 1 again on your phone dial pad or your Skype number pad, and a little hand will go up on my control panel telling me that you want to ask a question. I'll click that hand and your line will be opened. Then all you have to do is just say your name and ask your question, and we'll dive straight into it. So I'll give you all a chance now to press that 1-1, and then we'll go with the first question. Hope everyone's had an interesting couple of weeks since the last call. I think the last call was a great call. We covered some interesting topics, but this might have some new people on this call given the different time zones, so we're moving the calls around to give everyone a chance to make a call depending where you are. So I think we might have maybe more Europeans on this one, given it's not too late there like the 7 o'clock calls tend to be. All right, everyone, I'm still not seeing any hands up. So if you want to ask a question, no question is too easy or too hard. Just press 1-1 on your phone pad. Okay, there we go.
Hi, Errol. It's Rhonda. Sorry, I'm not European. I'm in the U.S. I just happen to be free today.
That's okay.
I've got a question about how to reach an audience that uses computers, but RSS is probably alphabet soup. It's probably largely a female audience. I've been kind of doing a rather scattershot approach. I've been going to places like Blogger and commenting on just topics that interest me, whether they have anything to do with the blog or not, just to get some kind of exposure. I can't even tell if it's got results or not, because nobody's picking up feeds. Like I said, it's like RSS is alphabet soup, and it's a new blog. So do you have any suggestions that I might rounds that I could probably fish in otherwise?
Yeah, sure. Just for people who may not have heard the question, I've had some feedback. Some of the Skype calls don't come through clearly, so I'm just going to repeat it. Rhonda's asking, her audience is not very tech-savvy, and she's concerned about not understanding things like RSS and also how to go about collecting an audience. But Rhonda, I should ask you first, what's your topic area? You say you've been promoting your blog sort of all over the place, but have you, been... You must have a topic, so...
Well, I do. It's a horses and culture blog. It's primarily for horseless horse lovers.
Horse lovers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably midlife women who've, responsibilities and money and things that just kind of pushed any interest in horses off to the side. Frankly, I'm probably my ideal audience because I used to look at these horse magazines like Horse Illustrated, and I think, I'm interested in some of these articles, but I don't need to know about fly sprays. I don't need to know about a lot of stuff. And I've heard different people say, gee, I wish I could, I wish I could find this stuff. So I'm just kind of like dangling a worm in the ocean and hoping the right fish swim by.
So Rhonda's topic is for people who are fans of horses and horse riding who don't actually have a horse, so they won't be too busy to actually get one. So that's a good topic. I don't think you'd have any problem building an audience. You just have to be aware that you'd probably have to go to some sites where people who do have horses are talking about horse riding and so forth. So that would be, I'd be looking at the forums and the blogs and the online, content sites that cover anything related to that industry. To go back, though, to the technical issue, and this is very common, this is probably more common than the other way around, your audience is not technical, and learning how to do RSS is beyond them. I wouldn't bother doing much more than, maybe write an article, a small one, that explains what RSS is to your audience and justify why they might consider using it, and link that from underneath your RSS button, just to give them a chance to maybe learn that skill and start using RSS. And if they're not going to use RSS, chances are they're not going to use RSS. So what you have to do is basically rely on email as the main opt-in. Now, you can do that simply by having, you know, the standard RSS to email service. Mm-hmm. So if you're using FeedBurner, that can spit out a form for you that will let you have, you know, type in your email address to subscribe to this blog instead of subscribe to RSS. If you're a bit more advanced, you might be using AWeber, like I use myself, and then you can build a proper newsletter or just use their blog broadcast feature to send out your blog posts on a periodic basis. So, you know, some of the people in this program who don't have a very RSS-savvy audience, they might have 100 RSS subscribers and, you know, 1,500 email subscribers. So just make sure you have both of those options available, and if you're noticing that email is clearly working, focus on the email and just drop the RSS a bit.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But in terms of audience building, if you're your ideal audience, if you know you're looking for more people like yourself, and you just said you used to read horse riding magazines and so forth, what are you reading now on the internet to indulge in this passion besides your own blog, of course? So you know, and go out there and find those sites, and chances are that's where your audience is existing, and you just need to bring some of them back to your own site. So
in other words, I need to lure those lurkers back.
You do, and you need to find out where they are currently. And once you find, like, most sites is an 80-20 rule. There's one or two or three really popular sites. The majority of your audience goes there. Now, assuming that site exists and they're not too restrictive on self-promotion, like most have a signature in a forum, or maybe you can submit an article to them and they might consider it for publication on their site, then I'd focus all your energy on that one or two sites because you'll get a bigger return that way. If you can't find a major player, you may need to circle around three or four sites and just try and bring a little bit of traffic back from each. But given your topic, I'm sure there's some major sites devoted to that out there. You just got to find them.
Well, I'm expecting more of a bump once the weather gets bad in the northern hemisphere here.
Right.
Because especially like the horse people, they're out full with their horses. Because I've had different people just run, you know, run into people in the street. Oh, I signed a blog. I love that. And so I know people are seeing it. But I also know, you know, people spend a lot of time online, especially in the actual horse community. So
that's why you have to see if those sites are out there. And, you know, if you don't find any, which I really doubt, then that might be a sign that there's no online audience. But I really would doubt that's the case.
Yeah, there it is. There are a lot of different. I joined a couple of horse regular riding social networking sites, and I have a little. I guess fishing is a bad word, but it's a bad metaphor. But I've posted on a couple of those and seen a little bump kind of thing. So I guess it's just, you know, stay patient, stay the course, and keep adding content.
Keep finding those bumps and bringing those bumps to your site and capture that audience through a newsletter and keep putting out content.
Thank you.
No problem, Rhonda. All right. Next one.
Hi, Yarrow. It's Melissa from Melissa Thinks Out Loud. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. I have a question about my blog is a personal development blog, self-improvement blog, and the readership is growing, but it's kind of slow. I'm up to about an average of 50 people a day, and I guess I started about 8 weeks ago, maybe 10 weeks ago now. I've been doing the commenting, you know, found some forums to post to, and I was just wondering if you had any other ideas how to get some bigger readership wins.
Melissa, what's your angle with the self-development niche? I know you're in self-development, but do you take a specific angle within that? Are you targeting a certain person or anything like that?
I guess it's my angle's probably geared more towards real people. There's a lot of my personal life in the blog, so people know where I'm coming from, that, you know, I'm a mom and I have a job and but, you know, I'm still working on all these things, so I ask people to join with me on the journey instead of being the, you know, like, hey, I'm a rich millionaire guru person, you can do it too kind of thing. It's more like we're doing it together.
So I
think that's the closest thing I have to a niche.
Journey.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Gotcha. I would recommend... And this is an area where, you know, since you are chronicling your own development process, you're always going to need to find an audience which is just slightly below you if you use, say, a technique like guest writing. because you need to come across with some really valuable information to a certain group of people when you submit a guest article. I'm just talking about guest articles because I know self-development, there's a lot of popular sites out there. It's a booming industry. I heard it's larger than the movie industry recently or something like that. So,
wow.
I know there's massive audience to be gained there. And it, you know, if you're chronicling your journey, you might eventually find yourself evolving to, you know, the self-development blog for, you know, work-at-home moms, something like that. It depends what, you know, who knows what can happen over time. But for now, for that, you know, traffic growing, you need to get some really powerful insights, be able to really phrase them, you know, in unique ways with your personality, which you're probably doing already if you built up a little audience. You just need to go get lucky, really, for lack of a better way of putting it. You know, if you had a guest article on a blog like Steve Pavlina, that's probably not going to happen because I know he doesn't usually take guest articles, but even
right.
something along those areas, you know, and it clearly presents you as knowing something about something particular. So you personally have had an aha moment about something, it impacted your life in a major way, you're telling that story in a full article and you submit it to a guest article, you know, that person reads it, goes, wow, yeah, this is really powerful. They publish it on their blog or their content website or to their newsletter, and then you get a much larger impact of traffic. And that's how you can get the, you know, the really large 100 new readers a day joining you in from one hit, you know, doubling
mm-hmm.
your current audience, that sort of thing. But that's just a case of getting out there and, you know, putting your best work in a guest article, so really
mm-hmm.
putting a lot of effort into a great guest article and submitting it to some of the top players. You could just think of, you know, what site would you love to see your article published on and linked from.
Right.
That would be the first thing I do. That's sort of like step two from forum posts and
mm-hmm.
blog commenting, because you're getting the kind of results I'd expect. You know, if you keep doing forum posts and blog commenting, you might eventually, you know, the person you're leaving a comment to may discover your blog because of that, your focusing energy, and they might then link to you. But
mm-hmm.
it's so much better now. You can say, hey, I've been commenting on your blog now for, you know, the last 5 weeks. Love your content. I actually just hit, you know, something happened in my life that was, I thought, very relevant to your audience. Here's a guest article. So they feel like they know you a little bit because they've seen
mm-hmm.
your comments. And that's the next step up. You know, it's not going to blow you away, but it might get you from 50 to 200 or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And then it's just compounding. You got to keep doing things like that. On a smaller scale, you can do the same thing with, I wouldn't call it guest article writing, but producing some content that's of article length and quality and publishing it to 3 or 4 different forums, hot thread in that forum. I'm not sure if you've read the lesson, but that was one of the techniques I
yeah.
did earlier on with my forum marketing, was to actually submit an article that I didn't publish to my blog. It was, you know, fairly significant, like I would have published it to my blog in normal intents and purposes, but I wanted to use that article for forum marketing and really test that as an effective tool. And when you put something that, you know, a little bit more significant to a forum, after you've maybe spent, you know, a few weeks there where you posted a few smaller posts, but then you hit this large post, it usually turns into a more popular thread. So you'll see 10 or 20 replies hitting that topic, and you'll get more click-throughs and more reads of that thread, and that can just give you a little bit more of a boost and profile in the forum.
Mm-hmm.
Nice way to cut your teeth at guest writing, but, you know, you're going to get a better result if a really popular blog links to you. So, and you know, what happens next, if we're going the chronology here, of especially for self-development blogs, because I've seen a lot of this happen, you'll get to a point where a few of the other self-development blogs start reading you on a regular basis, and they'll start linking to you without you asking. Then maybe you'll get enough audience that you'll hit a topic and, you know, write a really amazing pillar article, and it'll hit the front page of Dig or the popular section of Delicious, and that'll drive a bunch of new audience. And then, you know, maybe you were smart and you decide to go and ask someone like Steve Pavlina for an interview, and you get an interview with them, and they link to your site as a result of you publishing their interview. Now,
mm-hmm.
Steve nowadays does so many interviews, you wouldn't target him, but there's got to be
right.
some, you know, other players who maybe aren't getting quite as much exposure, but they themselves have an audience of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 thousand daily readers.
Mm-hmm.
You interview them, they write a link basically saying, hey, you know, I've just been interviewed on this website by Melissa, go check it out, and you've got, you know, a big chunk of their audience coming over as well. So it's
right.
some ideas there. They're all, you know, some are going to work sometimes. They, in my entire blogging career, I did everything I just talked about there, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. So
keep plugging away, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, you're at week eight weeks. what you're probably due for at some point now is a slightly more impactful traffic event like you haven't experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, your 50 readers a day are probably coming from, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 from each of the comments you've left on the blogs and forums.
Right.
So as soon as you get an article published somewhere, you'll suddenly, wow, I just got 50 new readers today. Where'd it come from?
Mm.
And you'll see maybe it was stumbled upon. Something got stumbled. I don't know if you're using the social traffic club inside Blog Mastermind,
yeah.
But that
yeah.
might be right.
That's
so,
been a big help.
You know,
that's definitely gotten me some regular people who keep coming back. So
fantastic.
That's really helpful.
Yeah, so,
and stumble upon is actually where I get the most of my traffic from.
Right. Okay. So you probably want to veer away from that then. Stumble upon's
mm-hmm.
obviously working now, and just
yeah.
find a new channel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Hello, Yaro.
Hi.
Hi, this is
Who's
Vinalda,
this?
And I'm a total newbie to your course, although I've had it and I purchased it all at once. I'm just in the very beginning stages. So
okay.
I have two questions for you. One that's making me totally crazy because my goal right now is to build a list. What I hear is that opt-ins on blogs don't convert well for the normal average, you know, new blogger, and that you really need a dedicated squeeze page. So one is to ask you what you think about that, and the reason for that is there's too many distractions, because with an opt-in, you want them just to either only have two choices to opt-in or leave. And then the other is, can I do that on my blog? Do you recommend that if I was to make just a dedicated squeeze page and opt-in, you know, with a separate URL as an add-on page
yep.
That I could send people to and keep that all within my blog? That would really be easier for me, but I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Yes, definitely for both, and I agree. The name squeeze, as you're calling it, the landing page that just focuses on converting that opt-in will always convert better than the opt-in on a blog, simply because, like you stated, the blog has got a lot of things competing for attention. The only thing is, your blog is naturally going to get more traffic organically because, you know, it's not a squeeze page. A squeeze page is usually, people use that to drive traffic to it from another source, and it's very focused. So you're paying for traffic from pay-per-click, you're
mm-hmm.
going to YouTube and submitting videos, and you've got a link back to that landing page from your videos. It might be saying you've got a MySpace profile or a Facebook profile, and all the marketing you do there points it back to this landing page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some students in the program who will set up, like you suggested, a separate page. It'll be at their blog address, and it'll just be a page at slash newsletter or something like that, and that will be a typical landing page. So it's just got some copy, the name, and name and email opt-in, and that's it. It's focused on that thing. But the natural course of how they build an audience won't drive traffic to that. They will have to go out there and do something different. So I've got one of the students who spends a lot of time in YouTube. All the YouTube videos send the traffic back to that newsletter page rather than the blog homepage because, like you said, you've already done the work to get the attention through the YouTube marketing. Now you want to get that conversion. The blog is the same story. So the blog is the traffic generation tool, and you want to get that conversion to the newsletter on your blog. But
mm-hmm.
to answer your question, what I recommend you do is have both available if you can eventually, but realize that, you know, you, especially early on, if you're new to this, you've only got so much marketing time. Now, if you're just doing this purely to build a list, then I would take everything off your blog except for the content and that really big, large newsletter opt-in, and I'd end every single article you write with the newsletter opt-in, and, you know, forget about everything else if that's all you're focusing on. If you're doing, you know, my program and you're going to implement every technique, you're going to have advertising, you're going to have an RSS option as well, you know, you might have more navigation structure, different pages. The blog itself is a traffic hub for you. Because of that, it takes a little longer to build it up, but
uh-huh.
once it gets going, it's stable. It's going to bring in traffic and, you know, establish yourself as an expert and do all those wonderful things.
Uh-huh.
From there, you know, then I consider adding a landing page, and what you can do is anytime you write a blog post that's very relevant to whatever it is you give away at that landing page,
uh-huh.
that's when you link to it. Or, you know, if you are capable, you do two things. You're building your blog the normal way, and you're going into one or two other sites like YouTube, like MySpace, whatever it is. You're building profiles there, and you're driving that traffic back to your /newsletter landing page on your blog. And it, really, if I was, you know, to say to a person who's really serious about doing conversion blogging, which I talked about in those videos, I don't know if you watch those, I would recommend. Not familiar with those? Okay, well, that's if you go to blogmastermind.com/video, you can see the conversion blogging videos and what I talk about there, and that's focused on email list building.
Okay.
And I would actually recommend, if you are really serious about list building, which is a great thing, you know, I love it when people get into that, I would have a nice fat opt-in box on the blog, but I wouldn't neglect the blog for what it needs to be. It's not just a list building tool. It's a lot more than that. And list building is a side effect of creating a great blog. You know, it's so much easier to convert someone into joining a newsletter when they've been reading your blog for 3 or 4 weeks now and seeing such great content. They're going, yeah, this person knows what they're talking about. I'm going to get on their list. And on top of that, I would have my blog domain name /newsletter, where I'd have a dedicated landing page that just is focused on getting people onto the newsletter, and I'd be driving traffic to that using other methods as well, very focused, specific methods. So that's the difference between marketing a blog versus marketing an opt-in. You know, often with a blog, it's like, here's some great content. I've got more great content back at my blog. With a landing page, here's some great content. Come join my email list back on this page. So, you know, one's great for reputation. The other one's great for conversion. Ultimately, though, if you want to make a sale, you're going to need that reputation, that trust anyway. So the more ways you can build that, the better.
Well, I did want to
hope
do
both. Hope I didn't overwhelm you there. Yep.
I did want to do both, but I'm feeling, you know, also being somewhat technically challenged, that there was a way that I could do that all within the WordPress blog, that was that would be thrilling to me. So if I could have the blog and write good content and great posts and do all the things that you suggest, and then have maybe the dedicated page also, and have the opt-in on every page because I know that that's recommended, that seems like that would be a good way to go.
That would be. And don't forget, with WordPress, you can just create a page and then write copy and have an AWeber newsletter opt-in form. It won't look quite right because it will look like your blog. Obviously, it's going to have the sidebar and the header and everything, but it will be a standalone page that you could certainly function as some kind of opt-in. If you're really keen, though, you just grab a tech person and say, hey, I need a page created on my blog that I can manage through my page function within WordPress so I can make changes to it, but doesn't include my sidebar. It doesn't include my navigation bar. I just want the copy and the opt-in, and that's it. And that's, you know, or you just have someone create a page for you and upload it to your server. The problem with that is you can't change it if you're not technical. So it's certainly doable, but, you know, I would get all the blog elements right first because you obviously control that with WordPress. And if you're already outsourcing to a tech person, just mention this to them. You know, I'd like to have a standalone page at /newsletter that doesn't look exactly like my blog.
Okay, great. Okay. And then, again, you said you suggest you get, like, so if I have a URL right now, Natural Healthy Woman, you suggest for your blog that you do, that's kind of my overall domain name, then would I get my blog at naturalhealthywoman.com? Is that what, for example, you're suggesting?
What's currently at naturalhealthywoman.com? What's there?
Right now? Nothing. The blog I put up, which is just sitting there right now, is a name I've decided not to use, and that's called holistichealthanswers.com. And I've decided to change over to Natural Healthy Woman as my branding, you know, keywords.
Okay.
And I own Natural Healthy Woman, or nobody owns it, but, you know, I'm leasing
it,
right?
Yes, you're renting it. Okay. In that case, and if you're planning on, you know, your blog as your centerpiece, it should be at the root domain. It should be naturalhealthywoman.com. www.naturalhealthywoman.com is your blog.
Okay.
And that's easy to set up. You just install it on the root. You know, if you had, some people have called in these calls before and they say they've got a brochure website already at their .com domain. They're not sure where to put the blog, you know, /blog. But if you're just starting and your blog is your main tool, www.naturalhealthywoman.com should be your blog, and then www.naturalhealthywoman.com/newsletter, offer, you know, whatever you think is the right keyword. If you're giving away a report, maybe the name of the report is where you will store that landing page.
Okay. And then the other thing good to know that you mentioned is I could hire someone. You can customize pages on WordPress then, so that the blog is always my central hub, and I can have things look differently if I get some help to do that. It doesn't always have to look column like you were setting up like a blog.
That's
so
right.
It's possible to customize in WordPress.
You definitely, and it's reasonably easy. I'm not a tech person, so I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but there's a templating system in WordPress, and you can create a different type of template and, you know, force pages to use that. I wouldn't have a clue how to do it, but if you grab Joel, who I recommended, a blog tech guy, he might be able to do it. I'm not sure if that's beyond him, but you know, ask in the forum, or you might just need to go to an outsourcing website. And, you know, as soon as you find someone good, keep them. That's the challenge with outsourcing. You sometimes have to go through some not so reliable people first.
Then for you to build a list, have you always then just had your opt-in box like you do now on Entrepreneurial Journey? It's always been on your blog, and that's worked for you even when you were first starting out to do it that way?
When I first started my list, which was back in 2006, I did two things. I created an opt-in at blogtrafficking.com, which you can still see. It's the same as it looked back then. I actually can't stand it because I hate the photo there with the crown, but that's a choice I made back then, blogtrafficking.com. And initially, I had a blog design that didn't include an opt-in, mainly because I was my own tech person, so I didn't know how to do it. When I finally hired a designer, which is shortly after creating that first list, I said I wanted to get the opt-in as well onto the blog. So back then, I think I was one of the first bloggers to actually put a newsletter opt-in into my design right at the top. So I used both. I had that at the blog, and I had that landing page at blogtrafficking.com. So again, what I would do is I'd often mention the URL, blogtrafficking, to join my newsletter, and that would send traffic from my blog to that landing page. However, I knew if I had an opt-in on the blog, there's people coming to my blog every day from search engines, for obscure search terms. I don't even know how many different phrases people use to find the blog, which is something that happens to every person's blog as it establishes some content. So, you know, if someone searches for, you know, internet marketing for beginners, they land on one of my pages, they see I've got a newsletter, they join. It's basically a case of putting as many potential places where they can get onto your list as possible. And, you know, I would recommend even going further than this long term, create standalone assets that also add to your newsletter list. You know, more landing pages, complete resource sites with, you know, series of videos or articles. There's no end to this, but to answer your question, from day one, I just had that very simple landing page and the opt-in form above the fold on my blog.
Okay. And then the standalone assets, you create that within, again, that's within the WordPress blog.
It can be. You know, it can be really significant projects. The becomeablogger.com website, which you may have seen, you may have even used it. They're the beginner videos I've got out there for people to set up a WordPress blog. I created that with Gideon Shalwick. We did that as a joint venture. I said, I want to build my list through this. I'm going to prepare to give away these videos for free, even though it cost me several thousand dollars to get it set up, but I'm going to use this as an asset to build my list. So that was another place where I knew people would go and join the list. But, you know, to keep it simple to start with, yeah, create pages. You know, every time you write a significant report, stick a page on your blog, make it an opt-in, there's another way to build a list. You know, some people just have a newsletter and say, they don't necessarily do anything beyond writing blog posts whenever something is happening, and they say, if you want to get my latest newsletter, make sure you join my newsletter, and here's the opt-in form, and they just stick it into a blog post. So it doesn't have to be anything more complicated than that, but the more things you do, the quicker your newsletter will grow.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. All right, let's see. Do we have any more questions? That was a few long ones, so I'm not seeing any hands up. Everyone, you're welcome to press 1-1, and you have a chance to ask your question. Okay.
Hi, Aero. It's Max from Istanbul. I could only just join this call because we suffered an electricity blackout just minutes before this call would go live. So what are the odds for that?
Okay.
I have a question regarding the article page mentioned in lesson 5 or 6. I don't have such a page yet, but I do have a most popular articles box in the right column, below the logo but above the fold, listing the most interesting pages for a new visitor, basically. You could consider them as landing pages with loads of links in those articles. Is that enough, or do you still suggest to make an additional article page as well, listing even more pillar articles?
Okay, just I'm going to repeat the question because you're coming through a little bit choppy.
I don't want to waste the time then. Then I will listen to it in the recap.
No, no, it's okay. I'm just going to say it quickly just to answer so people know what we're talking about. Max is just asking, he's not created an articles page yet for his blog, but he does have a popular articles section. He's wondering, is it necessary to also have an articles page on his blog? So I think it is. Personally, you know, the popular articles section on your front page above the fold is great, and the best thing about that is you get the first-time visitor. They come read the article that they're for, and they also see what is your best content and go to it directly from the page they're reading at the time. What I like about the articles page, that is a standalone page that lists every single piece of fantastic content you've written in the past, is it's just more comprehensive. Simple as that. You can break it down by category, and you know, fair enough, early on, it's going to be quite empty. But you go to my articles page now after 3 years, and it's a library. It's a, you know, massive resource that in itself people might bookmark my site just to go back and read over those articles. So, you know, this is not something that's going to make or break a blog. We're not talking about, you know, an amazing technique here, Max, that will, you know, skyrocket your traffic overnight. But it's certainly something worth having available as a, you know, standalone resource as you slowly build up your archive of fantastic content. So I think it's worth doing, and it's not hard. Create a page, call it articles, start putting some content. Okay?
Thanks. Related to that, I have another question. Of course, I have this automatically generated XML sitemap for Google and all the other robots, but I also create myself my own sitemap, which gives me the advantage of making it more user-friendly, attractive, with links,
right.
Just a list of links, and indented to all the articles I write. Is it a good idea to have such a map together with an articles page, which is more condensed and just focusing on the real good ones, let's say? Or is it not a good idea to have a sitemap which lists every single post or article you wrote?
I'll repeat your question again for people. Max is asking, does he need to have a sitemap, which he's currently making manually, which lists all his articles, and also have an articles page, which lists his articles, which seems to be the same thing in a lot of ways. So I actually, like yourself, I used to create my sitemap by hand, and then I also created my articles page by hand. The problem with that is every time you write an article, you have to go update it. I don't know if you're following what I wrote in the lesson. There's a plugin called the Dagon Design Sitemap plugin, and that will create a static plain text links like you're doing now manually sitemap. So you won't have to go in there and do it yourself. It will automatically list all your articles in a nice structure, actually. It creates a navigation structure, and it goes from page 1 to page 2, broken down by your category. So I currently use that as well as the XML one. And that gives you the sitemap. Now, the good thing with that is it's automatic. So set it up, done. Every time you post a new article, it will automatically index it for you. Why I think it's necessary, though, to have an articles page as well as a static sitemap is the articles page is really for humans. The two sitemaps, I think, are more for search engines. Maybe the static sitemap for humans who are looking to find an obscure page that they don't, you know, they can't find through your blog. But the reason why the articles page is different is it just takes your shining stars, why it is your blog that is so amazing. Really, these are the articles that stand alone. They're timeless. You know, people can come and read them in a year's time and still get value from there. So I think it's important to have a place where people can go to find this type of content, because by its nature, a WordPress blog doesn't really highlight anything but the most recent or the most popular if you use a plugin. And even then, it's very few pieces of content.
That's
now, right now, that may not be...
Own.
Right. And, you know, you might have five articles now that you think are worth highlighting. But, you know, 6 months down the line, that might be 40 articles, something like that. So you're going to need a way to highlight all the best articles and not do it by hand, because it's going to become too much of a job, and it's a maintenance job. It's not really a high return job. So this is something that should be automated. Even the creation of an articles page can be automated. In fact, right now, the way I do it is I have a box I can tick when I post an article to signify whether I want that to go onto my articles page. That's a little bit of custom work, but it's not too hard. If you grab a tech person and you want that function added, and it just makes the whole process automated. So, again, though, Max, it's not make or break. I wouldn't get hung up on this sort of thing. You know, do what you can
and focus on
creating the content.
There is no problem there for duplicate content as well either, I suppose, since they all link to the same posts, like being penalized by Google or something. Could you read about that?
There's no problem. Right, yeah. Duplicate content would only be a problem if you use a different link for the same article. But if they're all the same link, then there's no issue there. Obviously, you don't want to link to the same article in 10 different pages that all replicate each other. But these are different. You know, each of these pages are structured differently. Sitemap includes every single article you've published, including the news pieces, including the, you know, the personal anecdotes, not just the really powerful articles. So I wouldn't worry about it. The only important thing is make sure you keep your linking structure the same. You know, don't use www and then not use www, because that could be looked at as duplicate content.
Okay, is there a problem with my microphone, something that you keep repeating what I say, or even coming to
you? No, what I've been doing is you're a little bit staticky, a little bit broken up, which seems to be...
After Skype.
Yeah, it's a problem with most people who use Skype who call into these calls. The reason why I do it, I had some feedback from other people saying that they had trouble hearing the questions. So whenever someone calls in on Skype or they're not very clear, I'm just going to try and remember to repeat it if I can. So there are quite a few people who call in on Skype. So don't be shocked.
The recording I heard as well that my voice and everything was a bit... well, tricky.
A bit choppy. Well, you're calling from Istanbul. It's far away. So.
Yeah, true. Okay, thank you.
No problem. All right, everyone. I've cleared. Hit the refresh button. See if there's any more hands up. Great opportunity for you to ask a question. Again, nothing is too easy or too advanced, or at least I hope it's not too advanced. If you have a question, I'll be able to give you my thoughts. All right, I'm not seeing anyone. Everyone's gone quiet on me. But if we don't have any more, I actually have some other things I will want to cover. So anyway, I'll keep refreshing. If you do want to ask a question, press 1-1 and your hand will go up. There were a few notes I've been taking for these calls if I had a chance to actually say them if we ran out of questions. So I'll just go through them. But like I said, don't hesitate to press 1-1 and I'll see your hands raised and get you on the call. So I've been noticing a lot of people going through this program and getting some feedback on especially some of the earlier lessons regarding, you know, content production and, you know, what they're having success with, and really been trying to take note of who has been having success and, you know, why they have enjoyed the success. And I think if you read my blog or you got the email from me regarding an interview I did with Mitch, who may be on the call right now, and he's been on a lot of these question and answer calls. He obviously has had some great results with basically content syndication. So, you know, he's got a fantastic niche or topic area where he knows a lot about, which is college football, and he's been putting out some great content, and in particular something really compelling. He's been picking who he thinks will win football games, which for people who gamble in that area, it's you know, powerful content. But on top of that, he's also managed to get his content out there onto other really popular sites, which have driven thousands of people back to his blog in a reasonably short period of time, actually a very short period of time. So if you haven't had a chance, definitely go and listen to that interview at my blog. It should be in the early October area, October 2008. You'll find the post there. All right, I've got a hand up, so I'll stop talking and see who that is.
Yeah, it's Max again. There's nobody else.
Hey, Max.
Question.
Sure, go ahead.
I raised my reservations for revealing my picture on my blog through the forum. And you responded
right
to that, so maybe you recall the post.
I do, yeah.
It's not because I don't want to, because I'm sure that my looks will be everything but an asset to the sign, but anyway, that's a different topic. But of restrictions stipulated in my contract of my daily job. Now, given this, is it better to have a caricature instead of a logo, just the logo as it is now? A caricature is making more personal without revealing your real picture, let's say? Or doesn't it matter at all, basically, because the damage concerning being able to create a personal cult is done already anyway?
Mm. Again, I'll repeat your question. Max is a little bit concerned with using his photograph on his blog because of his employment. He has some concerns, people knowing he's doing blogging at his job, and he's wondering whether there's a risk of making his blog impersonal because of, you know, using a caricature picture or a logo to represent himself rather than his actual picture. And we actually had a discussion in the forum about this topic, and it's come up before, actually, Max. Most of the time, as I wrote in the forum thread, it's your strength of writing and your ability to be personal in your writing that will always be the determining factor for whether you establish that cult of personality that we were talking about. I think a photo of yourself obviously helps. People will identify with you. They'll have some kind of emotional response looking at your face. It can be good or bad. You can't control that ultimately, but in most cases, having a picture of yourself will help. If you don't do that, there's some people out there who use caricatures where it will be like a comic picture of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Anita Campbell from Small Business Trends, she's a very popular blog, and it's very much a cult of personality there too. Her ability to report on small business has grown her blog into, it's crazy. She's got over 100,000 daily RSS readers, but her caricature looks like her, so there's no denying that that's her. So you know, it's not really much of a good espionage job there. You know it's her. So if it was an employer, they'd probably figure it out. I'm inclined to think that you would, you know, maybe if you're going to get a caricature, make sure it's very relevant. Like, you don't want to get something that's like a child's comic or anything like that if you're serious
topic. Look like myself. But
right,
there's a difference between seeing a caricature and, well, not expecting to see someone's blog, then to see really the real picture if you're browsing around. I don't think too many people of my company are browsing or active on blogging in the internet. So there's a chance you can't take. So for that reason, I would make it look like myself, obviously. But, you know, you have to make the click, let's say, when you see it.
Hmm. Well, you know, if you're comfortable making a caricature that looks like yourself, I'd go with that. You're almost putting a photo up. It's not as bad, I guess, and I'd be concerned, though, if the reason why you're doing this is because you don't want a boss or a fellow colleague to find your blog and then say, what are you doing, and potentially jeopardize your job.
It's a gray area. Let's not sit in the country as it is. But for instance, I'm not allowed to sign petitions. So I can't raise my voice publicly supporting a certain cause. Now, of course,
right,
writing about my own life is not supporting a cause as it is, but, you know, I want to play on the safe side.
Right. That's an interesting one. Max was just saying in his country he's not allowed to be publicly supporting a cause or signing a petition.
I am, no.
So,
most people are allowed, but because of my job, I cannot.
Oh, okay.
No,
so
most people
are.
Let me get this straight. This is only like, 2% of the country is not allowed. Because,
right. You must have
a
political
education,
job.
You're not allowed to do that because you should be
gotcha.
By it.
Uh-huh.
So that's
okay. Well, you know, I don't think it's a big issue either way. Go with a caricature to start with. But I would, you know, once you've established a blog, maybe 6 months down the line, think about potentially unveiling yourself with a real photo. Again, though, this is not make or break. If you write great content, you talk about your personal life, and people start to connect with you because of your writing, it doesn't matter what photo you have. A photo helps. I won't deny that. It's a powerful connector between you and your audience. But it's not going to make or break your blog if you don't have one. Try and get something up there. Get a character up there so there's some connection, and run with that.
If I have a caricature there, would it make sense to use it a little bit more often, even instead of having a picture like, make some kind of situation where the caricature is in as well?
Well,
because
it's
I can't
repeat,
videos, obviously.
Right, yeah. You are restricting yourself if your blog is going to be based about you, that's for sure. If you're going to use something on a repeat basis, that's a good idea because of the branding aspect. So if you come up with a character you really like, I would go take a look at Small Business Trends or Small Biz, B-I-Z, trends.com. Mm-hmm. Have a look at what Anita's got there for her picture of herself. And she's I don't know why she does that, because she's not, there's no reason why she has to use a caricature. She just chose to do that. And it's fairly lifelike. And, she's been doing that for years now, I think. So it might be a good basis to run your own blog off.
Okay. I'm looking at that now. It's a bit slow, of course, because of the call. All right, thank you. If there is no one else, I would like to add one more question. But if there is someone else, I'll just wait in line, of course.
All right, well, let me see. Let's see. Anyone else got any more questions? Let's refresh.
Nobody there?
No, it looks like you have control of my call. Max, go ahead.
Thank you. It's about affiliate marketing. In one of the lessons, I don't remember which one, you advised us to look through ClickBank for affiliate marketing possibilities for, in this case, my niche. And now, when I discussed my niche with you through the forums, you offered, you advised me to take the daddy blog topic, which makes sense, obviously. And you also mentioned that in a later stage, when the site is picking up from. Now, last weekend, I went to check out some parameters for our expected child. Here they all have installed, what are the pros and cons, etc. And to me, the biggest factor is how the parameters handling ease while driving it is a major factor for me. So, and there was a big difference between all the models and brands. And that made me think, would I really buy such a thing online through affiliate marketing? Because without having really felt the product, I guess, to be honest, I wouldn't do it. And I think that goes for most of the baby stuff, baby care stuff, because, you want the best for your kid, of course, except for diapers and small things, of course, but the big products, let's say, that affect your baby most, like a bed, a pram,
right. These
kind of thing. So is affiliate marketing really it for my topic, or should I, once monetization comes around, look at different stuff?
Well, this is what I'd be recommending. I'll repeat the question. Max is going to the topic of daddy blogging. So he's about to have a child, and he's going to be chronicling what it's like to be a new father. And we've had some discussion in the forum about the possibility of affiliate marketing from his blog in the future, so what he can sell. And he's having concerns about whether, for example, with prams, whether people actually even buy this on the internet, so thus there may not be an opportunity. Max, I think the answer for this is already online. I can't tell you it, but I'm pretty sure a bit of research will tell you it. There are products being sold now in probably, billions of dollars worth in this market, but you have to go find what they are, like the top 10 or top 20. To do that, two things. I'd head to Amazon first, since Amazon is our online superstore. Check the baby category or the parenting category, whatever they have. I haven't done it, so I'm not sure whether there is a category.
I did it. There is a huge category for that. Mostly books, obviously, pregnancy books. Daddy.
Right.
Well, not too many daddy books anyway, but...
And then, I'd see if there's a product section, though, within Amazon, so because you can separate books so that they're, you know, not in your search results, and see if you can find the product category, and even see if there's a listing of the top 10 sellers or something like that, because usually broken down by category, you can find the movers and shakers or something like that, mm-hmm. where the, you know, the best sellers in each product category. But beyond Amazon, go to the other popular sites for parents, and there's hundreds of them. I know for, you know, expecting mothers and new mothers, and see what products are being promoted to those, that audience. So it might be just AdSense, like Google AdWords, little advertising boxes to see what companies are promoting. It might be banners. It might even be just products that the people in the forum or in the community are discussing between each other. You know, did you buy this, or what do you think of this? And that will give you an insight into what's being purchased, what's being sold, what's being marketed to these people, and what they're talking about and what they want. And trust me on this, when eventually you find what it is will work, you're going to pick maybe four things or five things. They're not very many, but you're going to mention those products over and over again, and they're going to be the lion's share of any sales you make. Because in most cases with affiliate marketing, you know, some of the things you test won't sell, or you'll sell one every 2 months and it's obviously not going to work. Then you hit upon this product that everyone loves and just keeps selling, and you'll just focus your energy there because that's what people want. It's trial and error.
I'm sure you're aware of that this program launches Daddy-O-Matic, or Daddy-O-Matic there. And if I look at that, because he wants to, of course, make it big, as he does with any of his blogs. And if you see what they promote, they don't promote a single product yet. They promote some online stuff, let's say, like a playground, online playground, or whatever. Not really hardware, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kept me wondering as well, like,
how
people really
how big is this website, though? Is it Daddy-Matic?
No. It's not big at all yet. But since he's doing it together with seven fellow big shot bloggers,
mm-hmm.
they are the writers, the authors of all the articles I expected to pick up.
I would be more inclined to look in the general parenting, like find the big sites. If this is not established yet, then they may be in the process of just testing, and they may not be making any money yet. So you don't want to go where people aren't making money. You want to find a forum or a blog that's been running for 2 or 3 years. They've been servicing the parenting market for that time. They're making millions of dollars a year in advertising or affiliate sales or selling their own products and services, and see what they're having success with, and then start making some tests and assumptions based on that. But, you know, to be honest, Max, you're a little far off with this because you haven't built your audience yet. And, you know, you may just find that after you build an audience, you ask them, hey, what's your biggest problem, or what do you want to most see on this site? And they may tell you where a possible angle is. I've got
of course, but you mentioned that you should take a look in that and then write an article, like one of these resource articles already.
Right. That was an additional task.
The question just popped came to me. Like, would they? Would I? That's why I just raised the question.
Would you? Sorry, I'd
buy from your online? No, I would not.
Sorry, Max, I'm just getting a bit of feedback. Can you repeat that?
Sorry. The question, because you mentioned it in one of the lessons, like look at it already and try to figure out what to write about. If you know the affiliate marketing better, what is there, you can write something for it, and it may not make money now, but if you make like a few of those after a year, you will establish a big amount of money, if it goes,
right.
Of course. So with that ID in mind, and I had to go shopping this weekend anyway, and then the question hit me, like, would I buy these kind of things online? Certainly after seeing the big difference in handling, because it's my first child, so I had no clue about it before. So then I would, if I answer myself, I would say, no, these kind of things I would not, because you have to feel it first.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that's true. And, you know, you may have to find a digital product. It may be a book, a really great book on parenting. The only reason I put that task in there is an additional task to get people who are interested in exploring affiliate marketing and what their options are, and also give them an idea of what type of product review they might be writing in the future. So I'm just going to mute you for a second, Max. I'm getting a lot of feedback, and I'm sure people are hearing that. So I'll unmute you in a second. And
sure.
You know, the thing you're quite right. There's a lot of products out there that just are not purchased online, or you're going to have trouble making any affiliate sales. Some of the students in this program will start by promoting an affiliate digital product, and it won't sell well. They might find a physical product, it won't sell well. This is a trial and error process. You know, the reason why I put that task in there is to start testing early on, so you get a feel for what's being bought. And you don't have to necessarily react to that. You may not write a review, but it'll give you a feel for what the potential is in the future. If, though, you do see this amazing information product or this item that's probably spot on for what your market will eventually want, then write the review now and then get used to that, because you might be able to write one review a week. It really depends on your market. And in your case, maybe there isn't that much of an affiliate collection of products and services you can sell right now, and you have to wait. You got to build an audience up, ask them what they want. One of the students in this program had terrible luck selling anything from ebooks and digital products, and then observed the behavior of their audience, saw that they were buying certain products, and decided to just buy some of that product at wholesale and sell it at retail, and that started selling like hotcakes. Had no idea what to expect, did a test, bought 15 products, and sold all 15 in 12 hours. So you don't know until you try, but you're right, some things will not sell online. Max, I've got another caller on the line, so I'm going to jump to them, but you're welcome, stick your hand up again, and we can continue the discussion. So here we go.
Hi, Yaro, Vinalda again. A question on my niche. I've niched down pretty narrowly, which I understand is a good thing, but in terms of contributing to other like-minded, forums and blogs, I'm having difficulty finding any, and so I'm wondering if I should become less specific, and I'll give you what I have. So you start with natural holistic health, and then I go natural holistic health for women, and then it's women 40 to 60. So I know that I'd love your opinion on how narrow to niche, and in my case, it seems like it's limiting, but just kind of would like your feedback on that.
Sure. Yeah, you certainly can't niche too far. You've got to – I don't think that's – women 40-plus, naturalistic health is necessarily that, too narrowed down. You may find, though, depending on, how you define that niche, you attract another type of audience along the way, and it may just be women in general. But to answer your question – usually you take a step back. So if you can't find a specific forum or blog written to exactly or a complementary industry to what you want to tap into, step back to one category level above that. So you just said three layers deep, women, as a general topic area. If that doesn't give you an answer, take another step back and go to natural holistic health. And that's a fairly broad top-level category, so you're going to find a forum or some forums, some blogs, some content sites on that topic area. And when you find those sites, usually they will have a subcategory within their site on your topic, or a sub-forum. A lot of, in my industry, forums on internet marketing, and within that there'll be a subcategory of search engine optimization. So you may find a forum on naturalistic health, and, there may not be a subcategory for women, but there'll be natural holistic health for women's issues or something like that. And that will give you a forum within a forum that you can focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no top-level category that isn't catered to on the Internet. If there isn't, then there's no one doing it. So, but naturalistic health is huge. So I don't think you'd have any problem finding top-level forums for that.
Okay, and do you have as far as searching, is there what's your favorite search engine to try and find, in a category to try and find some of the top forums or blogs to contribute to?
Well, Google, as always. I'm just going to type in natural holistic health.
I've had a lot. I don't think I'm doing it right because I haven't found much.
um, it's usually a case of just having a Google around.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can use technology to find blogs, and I always go to Google first, though, just because you're getting the entire internet. And there's
okay.
a blog search within Google. What I've typed in is Natural Holistic Health Online Forum. There's the Health and Beauty Forum, a UK forum's come up. What I'm going to do, sometimes you have to write online community. It really, this is an exploration and research process.
And maybe I wouldn't, I've decided to use a search term natural, or keyword I should say, natural more than holistic, just because that seems the most popular one. So maybe what's hanging it up is the combination natural and holistic. I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right. And you might want to even try alternative health, something like that. You pull out a thesaurus. The Google keyword tool may in fact be a good research tool to find what keywords to use to search for.
Uh-huh.
I've linked from the resources section in Blog Mastermind. If you go to that, or just type in Google keyword tool into
okay.
Google, and it'll take you there. It's free. What you could do then is type in alternative health forum or holistic health forum or just something like that, and it will give you, based on search people, actually numbers of people doing searches, what are the popular phrases, and you can grab those phrases and put them into Google and see what
okay.
kind of results you get. And just always stick the word forum or community, anything like that, onto the end of a phrase, and don't forget to also try with italics to get exact phrase matching, which can sometimes help. So just you have to become a good researcher with Google and have a play. When you find one as well, sometimes you don't find the top one, but you find a B-level forum or something that's not super popular. Go into that forum and just leave a post saying, hey, are there any other really popular forums on this topic? And they can often direct you to where, the real traffic is.
Okay, and you could also maybe check out their blog role, of course, if they have one and that kind of thing too, right?
Yeah, same deal. You can even email them. If you find a blog that's not really popular yet, but they're showing a lot of repeat content, they're obviously interested in the topic area, send them an email saying, hey, love your work. I'm wondering what sort of websites and forums you visit on a regular basis to keep up with this topic. And that
mm-hmm.
might, people,
okay.
people have the answers.
Great. Thank
okay.
you. And just a quick comment on the Small Business Trends blog that you had mentioned. Did
yes.
you say that was, I want to make sure I'm at the right one, because Susan Reed, is that right?
No, it's Anita Campbell.
I'm at smallbiztrends.com, and it's a totally different one then.
Yeah, you got to watch biz. It needs to be spelled B-I-Z.
B-I-Z?
Yeah, B-I-Z, depending on what country you come from.
Oh, okay.
She did an interview. If you go to the audio section, yeah, it's smallbiztrends.com. And if you go...
That's someone else. Wow. Must be very similar. Okay.
There's an interview with Anita inside Blogmaster and Resources area.
Okay, I'll look for that.
She's got, right now as I read the page, 204,000 RSS subscribers by Feedburner.
Wow.
I don't know how she does it, to be honest. I tried to get the answers from her in that interview, and she gave us some. But the continued growth she'd had is crazy. So, but anyway, it's a good interview if you want to get a hold of that one in the audio section inside Blog Mastermind.
Okay. Yeah, this one was interesting when I went to smallbiztrends.com because you were talking about the photo, was it Max that was talking about the photo
yes.
issue? And
that's right. And I can't, the character doesn't need to be there anymore, but yes.
This... unlike you, I like your way of personalizing your blog at the top. And this woman, just as a contrast, has her about at the very end of the blog with this tiny little photo of herself. And it says about, and it has a little paragraph. So that's just a different style. So I just wanted to make that comment. No big deal. But I think that having it at the top definitely draws people in and personalizes it right away.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's pretty scary for most people. They don't like being that open about themselves, so it's a big jump to be a self-promoter. It really is for a lot of people, so I understand people have trouble doing that. But Anyway, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to wrap up the call since we have gone past the hour, but I'll give everyone one more chance since we've had a few long questions in this one. Seems like people are starting to drop off the call anyway since we've gone over the time. So press 1-1 if you have one more final question. We will continue. Oh, I think it's Max. All right. I'm giving the phone to Max, and then that will wrap up the call. Here we go.
All right. I'm not going to talk about the Daddy blog anymore. I have another blog as well, which is about Istanbul itself. Since I've been an expat, I've been living here and experiencing some stuff. I want to help out people, the future tourists, let's say. Now, connecting to previous caller of looking for forums, for Daddy blogs, it's quite obvious. I can go to Mommy blogs and Daddy blogs and we cover some subject and we're not really like competitors in the area. With Istanbul Trails and giving information about Istanbul, of course, if I go to fellow bloggers about Istanbul and providing tips and tricks for tourists and expats, those are the competition. So I wonder what kind of forums should I be looking at to participate in. Of course, I can go to the Thorn Free, which is Lonely Planets, which I do already. But I'm sure there are others, but I don't know how to do that, basically. Should I go to blogs about Barcelona, for instance, that people that give tips and advice on that country and then connect with those and then see how it goes? Or I want to learn your point of view on that, basically.
Mm-hmm. I would do two things. Now, so you're writing a blog on Istanbul and travel to Istanbul. So the top-level category there is travel. Now, if I wanted to market a blog, though, that's focused on a country, I would find the popular websites, of which there'd be many. I know Boots and All is a popular one for travel. And you could find a forum devoted to the whole topic of travel. And within there may be a category for Istanbul. There may not be. It might be broken down by larger categories, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, et cetera, et cetera. But whatever the case is, you'll find a subsection within that area. And you can just focus on every single topic that's written about your country or your country's, location in the area. And just, contribute to those discussions within that forum. The good thing about that is you're not competing because it's not focused on just Istanbul. It's general travel. And if someone comes to that forum looking for Istanbul information, they'll find you there clearly as the person who knows everything about Istanbul. Continuing with that. Go ahead.
Yes and no, because one of the big ones, if you look for Istanbul, for instance, is TripAdvisor. Now, these big ones, of course, want to keep the audience to themselves. So you can contribute, but you cannot make, for instance, a link even to your own website. Or even if you would have written a nice article about the question that someone raises on those forums that they can't cover, then you can't even link through, let's say.
TripAdvisor is not a good example because you're right. They're very corporate, and they're not going to – it's not really it's not like a forum. It's more of an information site where people can leave comments to whatever the topics they start. So you want to find a pure forum, like a proper forum that's not – no one's driving the content. It's open discussion. So anyone can start a topic and anyone can contribute to one. I'm just going to type in travel forums right now and see what I get.
While we're waiting, maybe indeed small business trends, the pictures are gone there, unfortunately.
Yes, we just saw that myself. She must have taken it down. I'm sure if you typed in Anita Campbell and then did a Google image search, you'd find her.
I can do the Wayback Machine, maybe. They have.
Yeah,
Wayback
that might do it, too.
Well.
So the thing with this topic of travel, it is a very popular topic. So what's going to happen is you're going to find the very, very first search results are probably corporate websites, things like TripAdvisor, Lonely Planet, the websites owned by large companies that probably don't necessarily let the community drive it because they've got paid writers who are doing that. But if maybe you've seen this one. There's a site called travelblog.org. They've got a forum. There's a travelers forum called traverspoint.com.
Traverspoint, yeah, I can see that in the thing.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't, obviously, this is 2 seconds worth of search, but I'm
sure.
seeing 10 forms on this, excuse me, on this first search page result for the phrase travel forums. Now, I would, you know, not everyone's going to have the right type of audience, but find two in there or one in there that does, and you can just play, you know, the dominant force for Istanbul in that forum.
But write articles, participate, and give links, right? That's the idea.
Well, if you got the time for all of that, sure. I don't know if you'd have the time to do it all. What I'd be more inclined to do with that is the good thing about Google, it will reward a blog like yours, because I don't think you're going to have a lot of competition for Istanbul tourism, you know,
you're
from...
The ones on top,
Country,
Artifact, and obviously, TripAdvisor, they're very tough.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to beat TripAdvisor. What you need to do is, you know, being a tourist blog, what differentiates you is your unique perspective as a local, and, you know, people
Indeed.
Go to TripAdvisor. I go to TripAdvisor. I've been using it throughout my travels to find, you know, which are the good hotels, because we like
mm-hmm.
getting the reviews of hotels. What's different about you is you're a local, and you can report local things. But ultimately, you have to be prolific with the travel blog. You do need to be writing and putting photos up and really showing that you're interested in being a dominant player in that.
Oh, yeah,
market.
I do that at the moment. I have videos even up of me sightseeing things that I took myself.
How's your traffic growth going from Google?
Traffic growth is, obviously I don't have subscriptions, because people subscribe when they are preparing a travel, a city trip, let's say, and then when they're done, next year they go to somewhere else, so they don't subscribe, obviously. So I have to focus on traffic search, traffic better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You can see trends in there, of course. When there is holidays coming up, you can see it go up a bit. Now, it's not a recent blog, it's like 6 months, but covering Istanbul, I don't know if you've ever been here, it's a big deal. So I didn't do any promotion yet, not a single one, not even ask for a vote on Istanbul or a vote on Digo or anything like that, because I figured, like, first you have to establish the basics. I mean, you have to have every single thing covered, because if people come there, they want to see your point of view, your opinion on the main things like Hagia Sophia, Grand Bazaar, Topkapi mm-hmm. Palace, and there is plenty. And if you can't provide that, it makes no sense to promote your blog, because it may have the adverse effect. Like, this blog is only halfway done. Why would
right.
I bother anymore?
Correct.
So I'm pacing myself a bit in that aspect, and I prepare a big launch, let's say, somewhere in February, where the new
right.
season starts building up in April, but I want to have everything done in Google, let's say, that they have the time to find everything and categorize it, index it. And then I have some really pillar articles, let's say, like, I'm going to give one away, like the top 10 beaches in Istanbul. Because I saw in the forum that there is a lot of questions about even stupid things, but often questions like showers in the airport. And nobody has
right.
an answer to that. I mean, yep. So I've done my research a bit, like, okay, I'm going to keep those for the big lounge. Or how to distinguish real leather from a scam of leather if you buy a jacket here. These kind of things.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So
I like that. It to me, Max, it sounds like you're doing the exact right thing. With a travel blog like yours, I personally think the key is just get links. Don't worry about getting too much direct traffic from other sites like forums and that. What you want to do is just become a dominant force in Google as for search
mm-hmm.
results. And you're doing everything
but it's
right.
Going okay. I went
well,
from zero
give it some time.
To two now, and I have 1,500 incoming links at the moment.
Okay, you know, that's. I would focus on getting all those articles you mentioned out the door into the blog. Build a few links where you can, maybe do a bit of PR. You know, you can get some press coverage from local media in Istanbul
mm-hmm.
once you've got a big blog going there. But the thing is, you're targeting a topic that's never going to be ridiculously, you know, lots and lots of traffic. It's very niche. It's very, you know, it's a long-tail topic where you're going to get a lot of long-tail results, which will not send you thousands and thousands of readers, but you could get a very, very highly targeted reader. There's obviously a very specific reason they're there. They want to travel to Istanbul. The challenge you're going to have is, assuming you want to make money from this blog, is to figure out how to do that. Because you're going to have a small base of very targeted traffic, and you have to figure out how best to convert them.
True. And affiliate is not an option.
Well, the blogs I've seen do well in the travel. I don't know whether this is available in Istanbul, but there was a person who had a Japanese, in particular, travel in Tokyo blog.
Mm-hmm.
They made about $1,000 a month because of two things: selling a hotel accommodation as an affiliate.
I just did that.
I don't know.
I just did that. I advised booking.com, and I must say, since the low season has started, last month someone booked through my site and gave me €22.5. And I just put the articles there. So that's good.
That was the main way they made income.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's very dense as well, I guess, affiliate-wise, because there are no products to sell along with Istanbul, obviously.
No. And you know what? If you're making $23 per booking on an accommodation, that's a good commission. And euros, too, I think that's pretty good. So, you know, that might be the best monetization option you've got.
Yeah, indeed, and of course on Google probably, because within June we doubled the audience.
Well, that's pretty good.
Which is not much, of course, but I have like 6,000 page views now per month. I don't know if it's good or bad. It doesn't generate money, obviously, but that's not my big deal. I mean, as I said, next year is going to be the test case, because you have to get everything done there. You have to put everything in place first. And one thing I'm waiting for as well is, I have this typical three-column blog design look, and now there are more and more. I'm part of this thesis thing, and they are going to release their magazine design, which I think makes more sense for something like that, because you don't want to see the latest article, because that could be something that you're completely not interested in. But if you have this magazine look, where you can really have these boxes where you can put main articles, I'm not sure if it's going to work, though, but if technically it's okay, then maybe something like old Istanbul, new Istanbul, these kind of things, as like landing pages.
No, it sounds like a good experiment. So.
All right. So I'll have to go to the lower forums, basically, not to go to the high.
You know, I would do, like you said, I would focus on putting a lot of content in there. When you've got a good base of content, do some press releases, and maybe get yourself interviewed on a newspaper, or just links. You want the links, because the links will help boost your search rankings, which will help get you more coming from Google. And I think the key here is search results. You're not going to get a ton of traffic from forums and that area. But if you can search, if you can rank for all these long tail phrases, like you said before, you know, how to buy a real leather jacket in Istanbul, you know, that's more likely to get you the type of. It's not going to be thousands and thousands of readers, though.
No, of course, but for these kinds of things, I can ask for a dig here and there. I mean, these are real articles. I mean, that real leather goes everywhere, if it's in Istanbul or anywhere else. Doesn't matter, basically. Of course, if I can't ask for. Really stumble, please, on my article about the Grand Bazaar. Well, half of the people will even know where the Grand Bazaar is. And so it makes very little sense. That's why I'm very patient with all these kind of things, I must say.
Okay.
In your forum that you're traveling to Europe, so if you plan to visit Istanbul, please give me a shout.
It's not on the itinerary, but if it is, I will let you know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think most people probably left the call already anyway, but I'll wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for joining this question and answer call. And I'll schedule a new one for about 2 weeks' time again. This time, I'm pretty sure I'll be in Europe. I actually haven't left Canada yet, so had a bit of problems with travel arrangements. But once that's done, we'll be off in the UK. I'm not sure where. I think I'll be in the UK, so... Anyway, look at the teleconferences page, and of course I'll send an email out before the call to give you a reminder and get your questions ready. And if you want to ask anything before that, please head to the forums and post there, and we can discuss things there and with the other members and the other mentors. Thanks for listening to this call. My name is Yara Stark, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now...